Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Talking a little college football, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. We appreciate it. So, David, as we sit here today on the morning of November 6th, who is David Ubben's best team in the country?
Well, I mean, I guess you got to go Georgia by default, right? I don't think that they're as just like unbeatable as they've looked at times the last couple years. But, you know, you look at the season. I know Michigan's been really dominant. I have a lot of questions about the noise and how that might affect them over the next month. And, of course, as dominant as they have been, the schedule has not been great. So I'm going to go Georgia. Not by default, they've been really good, but they've been stacking some pretty good wins, and you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that's a more complete team.
Well, a couple weeks. Now, first of all, you got Tennessee, Missouri. Missouri, man, I thought they had a real chance there. I mean, I hate to be Mr. Like, you know, PI gets called for one team, doesn't get called for the other team. Stuff like that happens, but, you know, Missouri screwed it up, but I feel like Tennessee has quietly really improved as a team. I'm fascinated by this Tennessee-Missouri matchup this week. But I really think Tennessee has a shot. I think Tennessee-Georgia, for the first time, is going to actually be a competitive game in Knoxville. Am I overreacting?
No, and I'll tell you why. In 2022, Georgia was third in the country in yards per carry allowed. In 2021, they were number two. Do you know what they are this year, Joe?
Not that good.
47th.
Wow.
Just one spot behind Syracuse. You can run. You can run on this Georgia team. And Missouri did it. Cody Schrader, DQ transfer from Truman State, got it going against them. They won that battle up front, and he had a 100-yard day against them. And that's what Missouri likes to do. You know, Missouri is going to challenge them in a different – I mean, Tennessee is going to challenge them in different ways this year than they did last year, where it was, you know, just sort of, you know, a lot of big plays and looking for the ball downfield. And that requires protecting Hendon Hooker and trying to beat their DBs deep. That's tough to do. They're still really good through the air. But if Missouri – I mean, if Tennessee can win some battles up front – and use their, you know, 85 running backs that they have that seem to all be really effective. You know, it's a decent matchup for them. And, of course, you know, that's going to be a crazy crowd. It's not a night-night game, but we're post-daylight savings time. That'll be a night game in essence, sort of. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. And they'll have a shot. And it'll be a tough test for Georgia. But I think this is a pretty good matchup for Tennessee.
David, what do you make of the way that Milton has played, specifically the last 3 weeks? I mean, you know, obviously he was very inconsistent before then. Great first half against Alabama. He looked good for the whole game against Kentucky. I mean, last week is UConn, so it just kind of is what it is. But overall, what do you make of the way that Milton has improved?
Well, you know, you don't need him to be Superman. You need him to make the throws that he has to make. When you've got an open guy, whether that's 40 yards downfield or 8 yards downfield, you've got to take advantage of those opportunities. And I think, obviously, when you start getting in games like the Alabama game, like the Georgia game, where it's the difference between, you know, winning and losing, you've got to be able to make those throws and avoid big mistakes. And, you know, you're going to be defined by those games. You know, how you play against Florida, Alabama, and Georgia. And, you know, right now, for better or worse, Tennessee is 0-2 in those games. They've taken care of business everywhere else. But they're going to have a shot against Georgia. And so, you know, he's improved. I think you'd like him to be a little better, a little more accurate. I think they've done a good job of using his legs in the right spots. They're probably going to need to do more of that against Georgia. You saw Brady Cook have some effectiveness there. He's not – Joe's not quite as quick as Brady, maybe. But he can run downhill and get you eight when you need it. So, you know, I think they know they're pretty. Tennessee seems like they're pretty aware of what he can and can't do. And you know, if you're dropping him back there and saying, "Hey, we need you to throw 55 times today," that's probably not going to work very well. But they don't really do that. So, I think it just comes down to he's got to be able to make the throws that you get where, hey, got to have this one, and you've got to have it. You don't need him to be Hendon Hooker and make some, like, insane throws. If he's good, that's good enough for Tennessee to be a team that's really tough to deal with.
So I do have a bone to pick with you, David, because you were pre-shaming people for having Connor Stallions as a Halloween costume, and I thought
as I should.
No, that's come on, current events. It's totally fine. No, I had a great I had like a Secret Service kind of idea with like a suit and sunglasses. It would have been awesome. Didn't end up going to the Halloween party, or else I would have done that. But, no, I mean, come on. We got to have some fun with the Connor Stallions thing. Meanwhile, tell me what you think is going to happen with the Connor. I mean, there's so many things. But, like, what's the ultimate fallout here? I know, to me, one, college football is going to go to the headsets, right? I mean, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like, that'll be one of the big picture developments. But what about, like, what do you think is going to happen here? Like, with Harbaugh, with that program, and how it affects this season?
Well, ultimately, Tony Petitti has a tough call here, and I find it amazing that if you make a move here, whether that's suspending Jim Harbaugh, I have a hard time believing you would do something as drastic as banning them from the postseason or making them forfeit games. But if you suspend Jim Harbaugh, I'm sure Michigan would be furious. Whatever. The rest of the league would be pretty happy, and I'm sure that would include Washington and Oregon, who are probably kind of sitting there watching, USC, UCLA, kind of sitting there watching, not involved in these discussions, but certainly paying attention, I'm sure. And if you don't do anything, you're going to have probably 15 teams that are not your biggest fans. And Michigan ready to pat you on the back, in the dark alley and say thanks. To me, if you're playing the politics game, which, fair or not, that's a part of this, I might do the thing that 15 people want me to do, and not the thing that the one school will be furious about, even though it is Michigan, even though it's one of your biggest brands. It's tough because this is an unprecedented situation with no clear punishment. So you're kind of having to make it up as you go. So I don't envy him, but it's clear they did something. And if you, don't punish that or leave that up to the NCAA to drop some sanctions in 2027 after this is long gone, for a new commissioner who doesn't have any capital built up, Kevin Warren, for better or worse, was largely defined at how he handled the COVID situation and sort of the will they, won't they, in and out, weird four-game season that, didn't really make anybody happy and had people, picketing the league office. And I think Tony Petitti, for better or worse, is going to be very, very influenced by how he handles this.
So on the field, I mean, you said it earlier, David, Michigan's schedule has not been great to this point. They do go on the road to Penn State on Saturday. So how do you think they'll handle this on the field? And do you expect that Michigan gets through the rest of this year undefeated heading into the playoff?
I do. I was really curious to see, because it's a twofold question with Michigan, right? On the one hand, this is an insane situation for a program to have to deal with where, maybe you woke up this morning, you found out your coach is suspended for 3 games. You don't know. Maybe that happens tomorrow morning. Maybe it happens Wednesday morning. Maybe it never happens at all. There's this cloud hanging over. And then there's all the conversation around your program. And I'm sure the constant questions by people in their life and in the media and all this stuff. And then there's the question of, well, if you don't have people's signs now and you don't have the Stallions operation, which seemed to be abruptly halted the week before the Penn State-Ohio State game where the tickets were bought and went unused, well, I've compared it to the American cinema classic Like Mike. If you don't have the special shoes anymore, are you still Superman? It's a fair question. Now, on the latter point, I think the way that they play against Purdue says something. I mean, if they win that game like 20-10, the conversation on Michigan was going to get real interesting. Now, it's a different challenge against Penn State. I think they'll be okay. I think they definitely, the science leagues have definitely influenced them, but the defense is still pretty good. I think you're going to see a low-scoring game, but if you win that game convincingly, I think it does help you in terms of just like, you know, shutting up the latter part of the like Mike scenario, where, you know, your shoes are gone, taken by a young Jesse Plemons in the orphanage.
Yes. What a great film.
Yeah. It is. It's one of the best of all time.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's going to be fascinating. I mean, how dependent were they on this? How much did this really help them? I mean, it had to be some kind of factor. I mean, there's so many videos of like stallions barking stuff at like Jesse Minter, and so, you know, it's like, my gosh, I'm sure you see like the Ohio State, you know, whatever. It looked like they called the safeties in on something they knew was a run. It's amazing to think about what this could be. But I'm with you. I mean, I still think they could easily run the table here. You mentioned, David, that Georgia, you think Georgia's the best team. What about these Pac-12 teams? Because I feel like the Pac-12 got disrespected in the first playoff rankings. And I know the first playoff rankings, you have to, you know, understand what they are, take them with a grain of salt. But what do you think about that league and how that's going to play out from here?
Well, they have a bunch of good teams, but I think you look at these teams in general, and I look around at the Pac-12 and I see one complete team, and that is Oregon. That is a team that has obviously a very effective offense and a defense that actually rates higher than Georgia on the yards per play aspect of things. You know, you've got UCLA is the only defense in the league that's better than them. But they don't have the offensive power that sort of was painfully obvious for them this weekend against Arizona. And Washington, probably a better offense, more explosive, and have a little more weapons, a receiving core that can stack up with Ohio State. But defensively, they're not great. And you saw USC sort of exploit that on Saturday, and they got dragged into a track meet that they were able to survive. So I still think we are dead set for a rematch in Vegas. And I suspect that Oregon, who outplayed Washington the first time but missed on a couple fourth downs and gave up a pretty dramatic late drive and then missed a kick to send it to overtime in Seattle, you know, I think on the turf with, perfect conditions and not a road crowd, I think that they avenge that loss and get into the playoffs.
David, last thing for you here. Alabama takes down LSU. We know the quarterback drama earlier in the year, the loss to Texas, all those things. It's clearly Milroe's team now. How good do you think this Alabama team is, and are they a threat for the playoff to actually win the SEC in your mind?
Well, they're going to get to Atlanta, so we know that. I mean, when you look at the rest of their schedule, it's hard to see them really getting pushed. They have won games where they have not played well. They've rallied in the second half. It's been really impressive from them. But the question is, can you get by Georgia? Georgia's a pretty balanced team. Not as great, obviously, as you mentioned, in the run defense as a year ago. They're not just like an unbelievable defense. They're a very good defense, one of the best in the country. But they're not, you know, I think after the game on Saturday night, Kirby Smart kind of halfway referenced that the 2021 Georgia defense was like one of the best three defenses of all time in college football. I mean, that's probably up for debate, but it's not an insane thing to say. They don't have that anymore. And they don't have the same sort of reliable offense, but they have a bunch of weapons, and we'll see if Brock Bowers is back. I suspect he will be by the time they get to Atlanta. They still got a month to prepare for that. So, Alabama's dangerous. I still think that the warts that they had in the preseason, where I have a lot of questions about their weapons, their offensive line, I think they rank like 119th in pressure rate. Jalen Milroe is getting pressured on 38.9% of his dropbacks. That's extremely high. That's not what you want, and Georgia's going to exacerbate that. You got guys like, you know, Michael Williams coming after him all the time. So it's not impossible, but I still think that those flaws that Alabama has are going to be exposed by a team like Georgia that, you know, is more equipped to go all the way on you. Like, you know, Tennessee sort of wilted in the second half there. Texas A&M didn't have the offense to take advantage of some of Alabama's struggles. And an Alabama team that people don't think can win a game is always a dangerous one. The last time I think we saw that, they beat the so-called best offense, best defense ever by, like, you know, they put 41 on them in the Dome in Atlanta. So you never know, but I just, you look at them, and I think Georgia exposes them in Atlanta.
Well, David, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
David Ubbin from The Athletic with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.